Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our 10:45 traditional service. If you are visiting with us today, this is one of two services going on at this time. As we worship here in the sanctuary, let's be prayerful for our celebration service conducted in the Wilson Activity Center. You can also visit our webpage listed on the front of the bulletin to see our sermon library and view all of our services here at Asbury. I do ask you to fill out the attendance pads that are in the pews and pass them towards the center aisle. The ushers will pick them up during the offering. This time, if you will, turn to the announcement area in your bulletin. Today is the bake sale for the UMW. It is set up in the hallway behind the Wilson Activity Center. There are a few items left. Please stop by, and proceeds of the bake sale go to our missions. Holy Week services and activities are printed on the inside of the bulletin. Please make note of all the times and locations, as you will want to be here for these beautiful services this week. The children are continuing to collect quarters as part of their Lenten outreach focus. If you have some extra quarters, the children would really appreciate your gift to their missions ministry during this season. You'll find the collection tubes in the narthex and in the Wilson Activity Center. Please help our children if you're able. The Faith Family Dinner returns after spring break with a bang. Make sure and sign up on the bulletin insert if you plan on attending this very great time of fellowship. And you can see on the back side of the bulletin all these things and more that are happening at Asbury in the upcoming weeks and months. At this time, I ask you to stand and pass the peace of Christ, if able. processional hymn, number 278. Please stand. Remain standing for our affirmation of faith from 1 Corinthians, found on 888. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen.
Wonderful. I think I counted about 20 kids up here. Let's give them a hand. Yay! Yay! We're growing. Well, I bet you all know what this is. A crown. Yes, some of you remember the first time around, don't you? And sometimes when I was a kid, about your age, a few years ago, In school, our teacher would let us be student of the day when it was what?
Our birthday.
These kids remember. Okay, so on that day, what did you get to do? Blind leader. What else? Yes. What else? Got to do attendance. A lunch count. What do you think?
Yes,
you got to be the student for the day. Boy, that's a good answer. But guess what? It ended at the end of the school day when your birthday was over. What didn't it? Well, many years ago, there was a man that came into Jerusalem who was a king. Who was he?
Jesus.
And everybody cheered and hollered, and they were so excited to see this man riding in on a what?
Donkey.
Or a colt, or whatever you want to call him. And they were spreading their cloaks on the ground, and they were spreading palm leaves. Oh, they were so excited to see this wonderful man. But they were shouting and singing what? Aren't they great? Okay, well, unfortunately, at the end of the week, he wasn't very popular. Everybody was turning against him. And what happened to our king by the end of the week?
What happened?
He died.
That's right. They put him, arrested him, tried him, and killed him. Well, Jesus wants to be our king forever, doesn't he?
Yes.
He doesn't want to just be our king for a day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your wonderful son and for the fact that he is the ruler of our lives forever, not just king for a day. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Great job.
I'd like for you to look at the back of your bulletin for those we know about on our prayer list. We lift up Bob McInturf, Jean Beth Hill, Garnett Hartong, Nancy Garrison, Pat Parsons, Charlie Wagner, Charlie Ward, John Carson, Becky Frederick, Annette Crawford, and Lonnie Baker. Let us pray. Almighty God, on this day your Son entered the holy city of Jerusalem and was proclaimed king by your people as they spread their garments and palm branches along his way. Let those branches be for us signs of victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our Lord and Savior, our Messiah, and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life. Today we lift up our church to you, the Bride of Christ. May we be ever vigilant in our preparations as we wait for Jesus' return, when he will take all his people to a place he has prepared for us. We also pray that you watch over the sick and the persecuted today, Father. Deliver them from oppression and give them health. We also pray for the health of our nation. Show us how, through your Holy Spirit, to be better examples of your Son in a world that desperately needs him. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remember to give as you can to the Children's Lenten Mission and the receptacles in the narthex this morning after this service. Let us pray and ask God to bless our morning offering. Lord, your church is so grateful for your blessings. In times of plenty and in times of trial, you are always there as you promised. Help us to always follow your example in our giving as we joyfully return to you our tithes and gifts today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. hymn of meditation is Sweet Hour of Prayer, 496.
Won't you please be seated? Let us turn as we continue in our series, Crucial Moments to the Cross, turning to Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 36 through 40. May the people of God be blessed in this hearing and reading of God's holy word as we find it in the Gospel of Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 36 through 40. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again for the second time he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, thy will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping. Their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." The word of God for the people of God. It's Palm Sunday. We've enjoyed the sounds of the children and the adult children all waving their palm branches. And we love thinking about Palm Sunday. We love thinking about the joyous occasion. We love picturing in our minds perhaps the arch that Jesus drove on a colt underneath to the shouts of Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This final week of Jesus' life began with branches cut from palm trees being laid down on a carpet that with cloaks perhaps, people's treasured clothing, also laid upon to make a pathway for the victory of their King Jesus. Hosanna, loud Hosanna. And everyone feels good. Can you feel it? And Jesus felt good. Jesus may have relished the moment, but Jesus, if anything, is real. He knew parades and pomp and circumstance do not last. I was in Fayetteville over the weekend, and my granddaughter, Lane Austin, is into My Little Ponies. And she gave me the one I was to have, named Violet. And she had Rainbow Sparkle. And she had other larger ponies. And she began to form them in a line like it was a parade. And she got her car, her little convertible car, doll-sized, and we put our My Little Ponies, Rainbow Sparkle and Violet, in them. And she said, "Now, Emmy, let's wave." My almost three-year-old knew what a parade was to look like, what a parade was to be about. But after a while, we went on to something else, because parades, again, don't last. They are just for the moment. Jesus' adoration was temporary. Hosanna, loud Hosanna, would be traded in just a few days with crucify him, crucify him. Real truth, real faith are eternal. This was the time, this was the moment he was in, and he knew it would not last. But the crowd didn't know that. True glory would come only after the truth of the cross. In the verse just before today's text, Peter and the disciples are all there. And they say, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." They've had the Passover meal. It's been a wonderful meal. It's been a wonderful time of celebration and reflection and a fellowship with one another. But now Jesus leads them down into the Mountain of Olives to a beautiful garden called Gethsemane, a place that we know Jesus loved to go to, that Mount of Olives, so close to Jerusalem, a place that just seemed to stir peace within his soul. Now everyone is there, all the disciples except for one, Judas Iscariot, who has sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a servant. Jesus said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death." His instructions to the disciples were to sit here, he said, "while I go over there and pray." Jesus' choice of support during this dire hour was very intentional. Peter, whom he had already named the rock, whom he had already said, "Upon your shoulders I will build my church." And he took with him the sons of Zebedee, James and John. These are the same three that he felt so close to, closer to any, that he had taken them also for them to see something that nobody else would witness, and that would be the transfiguration, that glorious moment that God allowed him to have before the darkest moment in his life. So these are his trusted friends. When you're down and you're hurting and you're frightened and you know what is about to happen to you, perhaps it's a surgery. Perhaps it's a transition of some kind or another. Perhaps it's a loss of a loved one. Whatever it is in your life, who do you go to? You go to your most trusted, your most caring support network. That's what Jesus did. He took those three men with him. It was no accident he chose them. As he leaves them, just going a few steps away, his body is consumed with pain and sorrow. He falls on his face and prays. Have you ever been so upset you fell on your face? I mean, that kind of hurt. Maybe he fell like this on his forearm, but it says he fell on his face. He was prostrate. He fell on his face. He was that agonized. Think back to when you have been so agonized that you just prayed and prayed, perhaps wept and prayed again, and you're almost just completely limp. You see, the agony has zapped you of your life, your spirit. But this is Jesus' way. Anytime he had to grapple with the situation, anytime he had to draw upon the greatest wisdom, the greatest strength that he could have, he would go to his Father and pray. His Father channeled that constantly, but he had to tap into his Father. And the way he did that was through prayer. The most difficult hour of his life, his whole life is about, you see, to go out of his control. I mean, think about it. This whole time that Jesus has been in ministry, he has been so intentional about whom he would reach out to, about what region he would go into, even if it was not a region where Jews were welcome. Think about all of the intentional things that Jesus has done to show his love, to show the way of the Father. That has been in his control. But he's no longer in control. No. The religious authorities have taken over control. The Roman government's about to take over control. He has gone from the parade of Palm Sunday to the prayer of Maundy Thursday. And he has dread and fear in his heart because this holy divine person is also holy human. Jesus knew the time had come for him to take upon the sins of the world and again to lay down, not only in prayer, but to lay down his life. Let's hear again the essence of his prayer. My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Think about that. Fulfill this calling, O God, but could you find another way? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Let your will be done, God. I relinquish, I submit to you. No matter what happens. And then he goes from a prayer to a plea. As he looks to Peter and he says, could you not keep watch with me just 1 hour? Watch and pray that you don't fall into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. On another occasion, Jesus had taken Peter aside, this man who was going to help build the church. Read the book of Acts. And he said, Peter, be careful, for Satan would sift you like wheat. Don't fall into temptation. Peter's lack of spiritual maturity was revealed earlier when he stated that he would never deny Jesus. And now Peter shows again that he's not quite fully mature. He's not quite fully ready to lead that church, that kingdom. He's let human temptation of drowsiness overwhelm him, and he's gone to sleep. We understand that. Sometimes you can barely keep your eyes open. Whether you've had a full meal or whether you just are tired. You've done more in your day than you planned on doing. You've spent more emotion than you expected to spend. And you're just tired, sleepy. But here's Jesus saying that prayer can prevent temptation. How many of us go to prayer to keep from succumbing to temptation? How many of us are that strong in our faith where we say, no, I know better. I don't need to do that. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to get strength from the Lord to resist that. The model for Jesus, our Christ and Savior, says that's what we're to do. But Jesus comes back to them, to Peter and the other disciples, to find them still sleeping. And we have so often found God working in threes. We've kind of talked about that through this series. And here's yet another occasion. Jesus asked God to relinquish him from this cup of suffering, not once, not twice, but three times. And again, three times he finds the disciples as he goes back to them each time after he's prayed, and he discovers them sleeping. Those three trusted individuals he took with him purposefully to be there by his side, to give him strength, to give him support, and they're asleep on the job. Imagine you are about to die. You know you're about to die. What's going through your mind? Are you beginning to sweat a little bit? Are you beginning to clam and be cold? Or are you having all the memories, all the regrets, all the everything rush through your mind? What's going through your mind? Someone says, this is it. You see, Jesus had prophecy that he knew all too well. And that prophecy of Isaiah 53 had to have flashed through his mind this last week. If you haven't read Isaiah 53, you need to read it. And you need to read it well. It absolutely describes exactly what Jesus is about to experience. He was despised and rejected. He took up our iniquities and carried our sorrows. Yet he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. His punishment brought our peace, and by his wounds are we healed. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet did not open his mouth. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. He bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And we remember his words, today you will be with me in paradise. I mean, even in his own death, he is giving forgiveness for someone's transgressions. When you are faced with fear and death, don't you need those whom are closest to you to be awake? I think about a month ago, one of our own, our dear Dr. Charles Wagner, had a heart attack in sleep. The person he's closest to, and his wife, Marjorie, heard him, heard the sounds that you make. Now imagine this, and just as quickly, she got him on the floor and began to do CPR. And it was that action that was life-saving for our Charlie. Thanks be to God. Amen. And certainly the doctors and nurses and all the care, the ambulance people attending him, so many things were put into place. Most of all, the grace of our God. But there was one whom answered the call, I'm depending upon you. How often, spiritually, physically, we are asleep when someone desperately needs us to be awake. We're studying the book of Acts in Bible study on Wednesday night. And in the first five chapters, the first session we went through and looked at this, and this is the portion of the book of Acts where Peter does do that great sermon, and the church begins to form, and that first moment of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ alive and resurrected and in this world through the Holy Spirit, 3,000 people believe and are converted to Christ. And then as we go through, other things happen in the book of Acts that you just go, wow, that really seems just a little bit unimaginable. That doesn't really seem real. But the power of the Holy Spirit, things are happening that could not happen otherwise. People are healed, and Paul resurrects somebody. I find it very interesting. You've got to go to that chapter where Paul is preaching this rather verbose sermon. This guy, and they're on the second or third floor. This guy is listening to the, I guess I shouldn't say guy, this man is listening to the sermon, and he falls asleep, you know, kind of. And he must have been in a chair, kind of leaned back and falls asleep, and he falls out the window. I can't make this stuff up. You go read the book of Acts. He falls out the window, and he goes splat right there below on the ground. Now get this, Paul then goes and resurrects him. He goes downstairs, resurrects him, you know, power of the Holy Spirit. He's back to life again, and Paul goes back to preaching. So I'm going to wrap this up so nobody falls asleep and falls off the pew and hits this hard floor we got in here. But hear what is going on in this book. Paul echoed also in the book of Corinthians, the church of Corinth, in one of his letters, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You see, the early Christians in this book of Acts, they were flogged. They were imprisoned and they were flogged just like Jesus had been as he was going to the cross, and they felt honored for it. In our world of comforts, I'm not so sure we'd have that stance. We have a very difficult time accepting our flaws. We have a very difficult time when we endure discomfort of any kind. Give me a pill, give me some therapy, give me something. I won't stay like this for very long. That's who we are. That's the life we live. A very difficult time trusting God when there's so much wrong with the world. I'm not so sure that's why people don't go to church anymore. It's like we pray all the time. Nothing's changing. Nothing's better. Mama just might as well stay home. What a kind of attitude that is to have when there are miracles and changes all the time, and we know it's from prayer. Dr. Charlie Wagner will tell you he's here because of prayer. We wonder why God's not changing things more rapidly to our satisfaction, as if God's causing all this mess to happen in the first place. That's not my God. The God I worship is not one out there doling out trouble on people, making people sick, making people run into each other on the highway. That's not my God. My God is the one, okay, here's this mess. Somebody else caused it, but I'll sure help you through it. That's my God. Sometimes the treatment for an illness does not work and the patient does not get better. Sometimes the prodigal son or daughter doesn't come home. Sometimes our marriage or our relationship still falls apart, even as hard as we pray. Sometimes our working conditions don't improve. Sometimes the division in the family doesn't heal. Sometimes the person does not forgive you. Sometimes, as many implements as we put into safety, there's still crime and robberies, rapes, murders, abductions. Sometimes, no matter how hard or how much we pray, things don't seem to change. But they are changing. And here's Jesus falling on his face in prayer. And he's going, oh God, change what I know is coming. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was handed over to Pilate. He fell with that face to the ground and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, make this cup pass from me. Paul struggled. Again, there's that three. Not once, not twice, but he says three times. He prayed for this thorn in the flesh to be removed from him. But my grace is sufficient for you, Christ responded back to him, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So what do we do when things don't seem to change? What do we do when we've decided they're not changing at our pace that we want in our timeline? What do we do? When Jesus realized that nothing was going to change, what did he do? Yet not as I want, but your will be done. Look back over your life. How many times have you been disappointed that something didn't come through for you, that promotion? Maybe for some they wanted children, they weren't able to have them. Maybe some wanted their loved one to live longer than they did and it just didn't happen that way. Maybe you had your sight set on this or that and it just didn't come to fruition. What'd you do? Did you get mad about it? Did you get angry with God? Did you start feeling sorry for yourself? How'd you cope? How'd you move forward? Maybe you're still not moving forward. Maybe you're still arrested in resentment, sadness. I think if nothing else we take away from the garden, Jesus' prayer. There comes a time where you've just got to let go and let God and submit in obedience to the Lord. And that is tough to do when we're also taught in this world to be independent, to take care of ourselves, to be in control of the situation, don't you know? When things do not change, we need to hang on to God and surrender to His will. Rely on His strength to get you through, for God loves His children so much, and that never ever changes. And we just need to remember and just get it tattooed across our heart. Not really. God loves me, and God wants what is best for me. And God knows what is best for me. And God will lead me there. For just when things get their darkest, you see, God sends the light. And His name is Jesus. And you're going through something that you just soon not go through. And it's feeling a little crowded in. It's feeling a little dark. And we just need to remember Jesus in the garden to go to Him. To go to God. And get the light that penetrates all darkness. Because on that cross that day, a phenomenon happened. From 12 noon to 3 in the afternoon, a phenomenon happened. In broad daylight, it began to get darker and darker and darker and darker. But it wouldn't stay that way. Because the shadows of the cross would turn into the light of resurrection. Jesus Christ, whom said, I am the light of the world. Do you find yourself at times wondering if you've been aware enough, alert enough to an opportunity to share that light? I think we're a little apathetic at times. I think we're asleep at the wheel. And I don't think we grow the kingdom that way. I don't think we grow the kingdom by letting down Jesus. The disciples didn't mean to let down Jesus, but nonetheless they let him down. And I don't know about you, but there's something that hurts me more than anything, and that's when I feel like I've let somebody down. It hurts me. I think even more so than when somebody's let me down. So let's be awake, my friends. Let's be alive in Jesus Christ, for we have his resurrection power and we have his light. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn of commitment today is All Glory, Laud, and Honor, number 280. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, we would love for you to become official in our fellowship here at Asbury. If you'd like to come forward and to pray, we'd love for you to do that as well. As we stand and sing this beautiful, wonderful hymn, All Glory, Laud, and Honor, 280. To share with you today as our benediction this passage of scripture taken from Psalm 121. I lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps you will never slumber nor sleep. As we honor our Lord going out today, we have some fabulous opportunities to be aware and alert of those whom we might invite to our Holy Week services this week. Please take your bulletin home, note the times, note where we're going to be, because on Thursday night we'll be in the Wilson Activity Center at 6:30 having Holy Communion, and then we will be here Good Friday as we have times of scripture and remembrances for the extinguish of candles, remembering the Stations of the Cross. The Easter Festival, you've got children in your neighborhood, invite them on Saturday, and then on Sunday for our glorious services. Don't be asleep. May the peace of God be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Go ahead.